I'm here with Philip Yiannopoulos, who is going to be speaking to us about a festival he's helping to organize as part of the Faux Real Festival going on in New Orleans right now, and it's called Razor's Edge. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It's great. So I guess I wanted to start. Can you give us a little rundown of what Faux Real is? Because I don't know that our listeners even know that.
Well, Faux Real sort of came out of the ashes of the Fringe Festival, what would have been in its fifth year this year. But some of the people at NOLA Defender, namely Ben Mintz, sort of got together and decided that, Fringe shouldn't die, and that's how Faux Real came about. But instead of just being theater, Faux Real reached out a whole bunch of different food, which is kind of interesting. But our end, the Razor's Edge, is a little bit more, actually a lot more theatrical. It's only solo performers that we have.
Wow. And you have a lot of them, right? It's like an ongoing festival kind of thing.
It's 2 weekends, and we have 11 performers spread out over the 2 weekends, and each has like 6 shows, so there's a lot going on.
So what was your role in it?
My role is getting people to know about it and come see shows. So that's
Okay. Did you have any hand in getting them together or picking out who was who, or is it local people?
Oh, it's local and national people. Some people are coming from England, from a tour in England, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
And like, we had a couple. I mean, obviously, you start to put on a festival, there's a couple hiccups along the way, so I was able to help out with that, which is exciting. But we have a crew of about 5 or 6 people that really put this together.
So, do you have any shows that stand out that you're really excited about?
One actually was at Fringe Festival last year, and she's been touring this show for a while, and she's been getting more and more press. It's called The Other Mozart, and it's about Mozart's sister, his older sister.
Oh, is she also a good musician?
Yeah, the sister's name was Nennerl. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't speak German. But apparently she was a player than Mozart. We don't know about if she was a better composer. So this is just sort of a take on Nannerl's life and living in a time where women, even if they were better than men, weren't treated that way in, in whatever field they were doing.
What other stuff do you guys have in store?
There's an opera. Someone is doing an opera. She's from New Orleans. This lady named Catherine McLean. And she's just doing sort of an intimate concert of arias and folk songs for her dearest friends, is sort of how she markets it. And that should be pretty fun, a lot of song in that. There's one about Anne Sexton, another local performer, Diana Shortev, is putting on this piece about the life and work of the poet Anne Sexton, who's pretty radical in her own right. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, is there something you think is uniquely compelling about a one-person show?
The stakes are really high, like anybody who does any kind of performance knows that so much can go wrong outside of you. Light, sound cues, someone in the audience being obnoxious, whatever it is. And when you're alone on stage, the stakes are a lot higher. So for the performer, it can be a lot more rewarding. And I think for the audience, it can be, they can reflect that experience of having something so much more intense be that much more rewarding. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. So you guys don't just have theatrical performances, it's all different kinds.
Yeah, we have sideshow. Like I said, we have that opera. One is a little bit more movement-based. The other Mozart one, there's a lot of song in it, which is really cool. It's one that has a lot to do with bicycles and also women's rights. It's sort of a fictional tale of a woman's rights class across 3 centuries and with bicycles involved. I haven't seen the show, so I'm excited to check that one out. It's called Bicycle Face.
So, how do people get tickets if they want to come?
They go to our website, the Razor's Edge, or just razorsedgefestival.com. Or just check us out on Facebook. A lot of New Orleanians are friends with us, so it should be pretty easy to find. Pretty cool. One important thing I forgot to mention. One thing we really liked about the Fringe Festival was this element of community, and bringing all these performing artists together in New Orleans in a space where they could, interact, and have time to interact. That was one of the beauties of Fringe. And so to foster that, we've made it possible where we actually put up all of our traveling artists for free, for houses or friends' house, volunteer space. And that's just really amazing that we can bring all these, you know, world-class acts to New Orleans and give them a great home experience.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're someone that's been involved in Fringe in various ways over the years. So what's been the evolution? Why did it have to burn down?
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm at liberty to say, but the previous head honchos of the Fringe Festival, they had a baby, and that kind of rocked their world, and they decided to leave New Orleans. Fair enough decision. But with them, they decided to, you know, quiet down their other baby, which was the Fringe Festival. And so they decided that it was to be essentially liquidated and no more. So both Faux Real and Razor's Edge, as I say, sort of come out of the ashes of all these performers that are excited to come to New Orleans in November and do their shows, whether it's song or dance or opera or comedy or drama, one-man show. We're really excited to keep that momentum going.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is your take kind of on the state of theater in New Orleans these days, you know, sort of regardless of where Fringe Fest is at?
That's great. You know, there's a couple hard-hitting companies that are starting to get national recognition, Goat in the Road being one of them, Cripple Creek being another one of them, and I'm fortunate enough to have worked with both of them. And it's amazing to have seen these companies evolve, and not just those two, several others, and see more theater companies that are now younger. Because the ones I just mentioned are about 10 years old, right? And now we have younger people starting new companies and new spaces, and it's just growing. And the quality across all groups and dynamics is getting better and better. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting to get to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, it is. And to talk about it and to get other people excited about it.
All right. So what's the biggest reason people should come out this weekend?
It's going to be really fun. I guess that's... I'm a sucker for fun, so that's, of course, my response. but, you know, there's some serious shows. Like I say, the Anne Sexton one, it's going to be very entertaining, but Anne Sexton has a lot of weight to her work. So you could learn a lot that way, or you could see, you know, personal tales. Like this one other local performer, Kevin Hallman, he's telling a show about what it means for him to be a man, you know, and that's just really enlightening and fun and nice. You could have a nice, fun evening. You could learn some. You could get involved in the community. All the people who are putting on this festival are really easy to talk to. A lot of us are performers ourselves. So it's a good way to get involved in the theater community in New Orleans.
Great. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kezia.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.